Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is everybody in? Is everybody in? Is everybody in? The ceremony is about to begin. Wake up!
Everybody, Bennett Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Today is Wednesday, April 24th. Let's do the nice hard reset. Get our heads right on a Wednesday. Wednesday morning after a crap loss. A full diaper of poop.
What's the opposite of a guttural scream?
A fart. Or like a whimper. Like a whimper, maybe. Yeah, we went out with a whimper last night, certainly. Our beloved San Diego Padres. And, we'll get into that fun turd of a game that we watched last night.
It made no sense.
I look over to your seat, Ben. I do not see the rag and the bottle of turd polish. It's not here. He didn't bring it today. It's not even here. You can't polish the turd that was last night. But we will talk about it, certainly break it down as we do. Great to be here with you, though. You know, all things aside, it is good to be here with you this fine Wednesday morning in America's finest city. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He is the executive producer of the program. Good morning, Paulie.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning to you. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor.
Oh, boy.
Good morning to you, Benjamin.
Good morning. Can't wipe the smile off my face.
Oh, this SOB.
You are heading out today to go play golf with your buddy. How are you feeling?
You know me, Woods. I find I'm so excited I can barely sit still or hold a thought in my head. I think it's the excitement only a free man can feel. A free man at the start of a long journey whose conclusion is uncertain. I hope I can make it across the California-Nevada border. I hope to see my friend and shake his hand. I hope the golf course is as green as it has been in my dreams. I hope.
Shawshank.
It's funny. I saw a story yesterday about that.
We're going to make you crawl through 500.
I'm going straight to Zay Watanejo. I don't have to crawl through anything.
That's five football fields.
It's funny. I just saw an article yesterday, and this is why Morgan Freeman was trending on X, not because fortunately he died. He gave an article.
Fortunately, he died.
He gave an article. He gave an interview and said, the Frank Darabont, the director of Shawshank, which is 30 years old this year, celebrating its anniversary, wanted Red to be playing the harmonica in that last scene, the one that Andy had given him, and Morgan Freeman refused. He thought it was cliche and asinine is what he called it, and refused. I don't want to be playing the harmonica. I just want to walk up and give Andy a hug. So they did it Morgan Freeman's way, and I think it worked pretty well. So, in the last scene, when he walks up on the beach to the boat.
Did he want him to be walking down the beach playing the harmonica?
Yeah, like he finally he got over it.
Walking down the beach, stupid, dude. He's right. It's just like a director or like a boss to think that they know what's the best thing for you.
Morgan Freeman's like, I'm not doing that.
Let the talent dictate it, okay? If Morgan Freeman tells me, hey, this doesn't work, this does, all right, I would be the easiest director in the world. I'd be like, all right, you tell me. Now, if it's some turd that's never acted before, I'm like, why don't you zip your lip? All right, just do as you're told. It's Morgan Freeman. You go, yeah, let's do it your way. just roll back the bus over me the entire...
I think the movie turned out pretty well, all in all.
Brilliant. The one problem I have with Dark Film, there's just one.
You have a problem.
I do, one. How are you going to bust that pipe open with a rock and the hole is big enough for you to shimmy your body through?
Okay, I've had a similar thought there. Yeah.
So, and you see him, he's got the big rock, it's up, and he waits for the lightning strike, and he's clang! Two shots is all you need to bust through a pipe with a rock?
I kind of assumed, obviously, he's kind of run through this a few times in his, like...
prep.
Yeah, in his prep. He dug the hole. He didn't leave the first night he finished the hole. He, like, had to wait for the storm.
Yeah. He's been in that room many times.
He's found the weak spot in the pipe. He knows kind of where it's going. This is what I went in my mind. What I always wondered about is you can't time thunder when you see lightning unless it's right there. Usually it could be 3 seconds. It could be 5 seconds. How did he know exactly when the thunder was going to come after the lightning?
Yeah, it was lightning and then...
And then he'd wait a second and then he'd hit it right as the thunder struck.
I just didn't know how you bust through that pipe. You may be able to get a crack in it. But I didn't see how you get your whole body down into the doo-doo pipe.
If the pipe was so full that when, of course, he breaks through, it like erupts like a geyser because of the high pressure. It's like now it's all of a sudden it's almost empty when
that's
it gets
true.
In it too.
Yeah, and Tevin says cast iron, once broken, is very brittle. He was a previous geologist before he was a banker. Well, yeah, geology doesn't have anything to do with
pipes. It's an old rusty pipe.
If you told me
he was away.
If he was a plumber before... he wasn't a geologist, by the way. He was a banker with an interest
in
geology.
Yeah. He was a rock hound.
Hmm.
Or at least he was
in his old life.
He'd like to be so on a limited basis.
So, you're hitting the road today. You're driving out to Henderson. You're playing today.
Yes. We have like a practice round thing.
Pre-tournament.
There's like a skins game or something. So we have an afternoon round this afternoon.
What's at stake in this tournament?
Quite a bit, actually. I got the whole rundown yesterday from the tournament committee. It's a match play.
Why'd you do best ball match play.
I was just hoping you'd be like, $100,000 to the winners.
Right.
No, that's all you had to say.
If you can win about $3,000 to $4,000.
Perfect. That's all I needed to know.
Okay, that's pretty good. Yeah. Pretty good. Pretty neat. Pretty
plus $1,000 for any hole in ones, which is unlikely, but they did add some like a prize pot for hole in ones during the tournament.
Weather's going to be nice.
Looks like it's going to be real nice.
I think it's going to be like perfect.
Yeah, like mid 80s to high 70s all the way through, hopefully.
All right. Well, I want you to enjoy your vacation very much. You deserve it.
Thank you.
I believe it's your first vacation of the year. So nobody is more deserving of that. We are going to have some fun when you're gone. We have a lot planned. We have many, many special guests. It's going to be a bit of a circus the next couple of days.
A cavalcade.
Yeah. As you can imagine, it's going to be a bit of a circus. That's how I like it, frankly. I like it to be a bit of... But yeah, I mean, if you want to check in Friday or leave us a voicemail, let us know how the first day went. I like to update it. Or we can just wait till you get back. It's no big deal. Don't be under any pressure to do so. I had T-ball last night, and I think after three seasons now of coaching T-ball, I'm in a very tough spot. My other son, Taylor, he's three. He wants to play T-ball, and I use that loosely. I don't know that I can do another.
Ooh.
You've
kind of established the precedent that you're going to coach T-ball for your kids. And if you do it for one, and then you don't do it for the other...
You're the world's...
The other will know he doesn't love me as much as he loves his first son.
You're the world's biggest J.O. If you coach up one, and then the other one, you're like, yeah, somebody else is going to do this. Now, remember, the other one's going to go up to the next level, which I will be coaching. I also am going to throw in a new T-ball team with new kids. So now instead of one team, it's two. Back to T-ball last night. So the field that we play on is, I think I've said this before, it's highway adjacent. And that highway is the 5. So you can imagine what it sounds like when you're on those fields. Just cars. And we're talking 4:30, right, when the game's going on?
Yeah.
So the normal, Blake, pay attention, buddy, turns into, Blake! Pay attention! Put your glove on!
Sound angry now.
Scout! Scout! Hey! Eyes up here! Jackson! Jackson! Watch the ball! So, I left the game. All three of those were screamed by those are my kids too. I left the game, you guys, and I was like this. I looked like I got out of SEAL training. I was like, I stumbled in,
staggering along.
Hannah goes, let's take the kids to In-N-Out. I go, okay. So we go to In-N-Out. We're sitting there, and I'm sitting with my head in my hands at the table. If anybody saw me last night at In-N-Out, I'm not dying. I'm not depressed. I was exhausted. The 4 o'clock start time for six-year-olds, they've been in school all day. Bro, you know what they want to do? They don't want to dial into the next pitch coming off the tee. They want to pick flowers and wrestle. And like, I get it. I was getting some side eye from some of the parents last night because the other team was hitting piss rods up the middle. And I'm like, I don't want your kid to get hit in the face. Hence why I'm screaming at the top of my lungs at them to pay attention, right? I don't care if we win a game. I don't want them to get a black eye, get hit in the throat, not want to play baseball anymore. So I looked at Hannah. They called our order.
You've wrecked your voice for the whole show here.
Yeah. I called.
I don't know that was worth it, but it was funny.
They said, number 4, your order's ready. And I was at the table. Hannah goes, I'll get it. I was like, fine. I just sat there. She like brought it back and served me. I looked at her. I go, I don't know how much longer I got in this. She's like, well, you have to coach Taylor. And by extension, all of these other kids, their little brothers, too, and sisters. I go,
hey, you don't owe anything to them. You owe something to Bo and Taylor.
That's it. But they're all going to be on the team. I'm like, holy cow. So I'm cashed. I'm putting the game on, and I watch the game starts. I'm like, oh, thank God. Oh, thank God. 4-1. We got this one in the bag. Be a nice, fun show tomorrow. And we all know what happened. It was excruciating, man.
So, just my two cents, I would say, like, you're not a baseball coach by nature. You're not going to be Bo's high school coach or their travel ball coach or anything like that.
I'll help in all of that until high school, yeah.
At some point, though, you're going to let somebody else coach your children.
Yeah.
I would try to determine when that point is going to be for you.
It's probably...
And then however high level that gets for Bo, that's how much you got to coach Taylor.
Yeah, no, you have to keep it even.
Like, I don't know what the levels are here. We had like A-ball.
Well, I have
which
play.
Means you're done with Bo after this season, because every year you commit to Bo, you're going to have to commit another year to Taylor.
Which is fine. It's just, it's the T-ball aspect of it is just, it's really difficult. It's really, really difficult. And I'm intense about it, but it's not because I'm like some psychopath.
Right, you just want to be careful with the kids.
I'm not Bryce Harper's dad. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not out there killing these dudes. But I also want them to like pay attention so that they don't wear one in the nuts, you know, or in the throat or in the eye. Because, you know, that might be a good way to thin out the herd on the team, because I doubt very much if one of them wears one in the face, he's going to be excited to come back. So, yeah, that was my night last night. It just is gnarly. And I know a lot of dads and moms out there, too, can relate. It is like, I'm telling you guys, it's the hardest thing I do. Is that like it's the hardest thing I do is trying to wrangle. I've got 11
working
kids.
With that age group is exhausting no matter what.
Shout out to the teachers out there.
Kindergarten, first grade teachers.
I'm telling you, if you are a kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, your salary should be, I'm not joking when I say, at least $275 a year. Base before bonuses and all the vacation. $275 a year is what it would take for me. I'd need $400 to go in and do that.
Unfortunately, the sad reality is take a zero off, and you're kind of more in that range.
Bro, it's unbelievable. It's awful. Unbelievable.
And I don't think the bonus structure is that great for elementary school teacher either.
I don't think so either.
Did we make our quota this quarter?
Oh, can you write his name? Yeah, he used an extra $5,000, man. Holy cow, dude.
All right, why don't you rest your voice? Don't speak again for a few minutes.
Fine.
We will come back and
set tea.
Set the menu. It is a red letter day of the calendar year for the Ben and Woods program. We'll tell you what we have coming up on the show today as we get into it here. Midweek Wednesday. So glad that you've all tuned in to us, Ben, Woods, and Paul on San Diego's number one sports station. Let's check traffic with Kelly Danik here on 97.3 The Fan. And we'll be right back.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Before we get to the Incorporator and set the menu on a Wednesday, I do have some breaking sports news this morning. This statement, exclusive from ESPN, from the Heisman Trust, that is the the organization, the committee that manages the Heisman Trophy, every year they said, we are thrilled to welcome Reggie Bush back to the Heisman family in recognition of his collegiate accomplishments. We consider the enormous changes in college athletics over the last several years in deciding that now is the right time to reinstate the trophy for Reggie. We are so happy to welcome him back. San Diego's Reggie Bush finally gets his 2005 Heisman Trophy back again.
So cheaters do prosper, is yes. what you're saying.
I'm joking,
by the way.
He has served his time.
Yeah, time served.
Time served.
And I'd say so.
He absolutely has. Reggie
served 19 years, essentially. Yeah. Now he's got his trophy back. And now that the rules do allow for NIL and such things, it's like, it doesn't seem like that big of a deal anymore.
So how did that actually work? Like, when you win the Heisman, I'm sure you get a replica statue. So did they literally, like, bang on his door and say, give us the statue?
Snatched it back from
him.
He did relinquish it, I believe, like, when asked. Yeah. I don't think they had to, you know, like, send a SWAT team in to take it back from him.
But, or they just say, hey, it doesn't count. You can keep it, but it doesn't matter.
I think they actually did take it back. They did take it back, and now they are giving it back to him. And it, you know, a lot of people had lobbied on his behalf as well, saying, come on, you know, everything that's gone on in college football, this is the hill you want to die on, that Reggie doesn't get his
Johnny
trophy Manziel back.
Was like, bro, if I got one, yeah. like, Reggie should have one.
Yeah, probably 90% of them. No, he's literally like top three college football players I've ever seen in my life. Might be number one. Yeah. You know, Desmond Howard, Reggie Bush, Vince Young. Like, those guys were so next
level.
It's
funny how we're almost more nostalgic for great college football players than we are even for great NFL players.
Oh, big time.
I mean, that Texas-USC game was an all-timer.
Yeah, all-time. Just straight up all-timer. I hated Reggie
the Bush push.
Bush push almost killed me. I put a hole in my wall that night. So he got his back. He deserves it. He does. And I say that as a huge, huge Notre Dame fan. Reggie Bush definitely deserves that.
We're playing NCAA football on PlayStation or Xbox, whatever it was back in 2004, 2005. Didn't have the name, image, and likeness. They had a running back, number 5, from USC.
Yeah, he was really good.
Who was really good.
Yeah,
it was
like
a cheat code.
Got no money for that.
That's right.
You know, and I remember when he was at Helix with Alex Smith, and you didn't know that both of them were going to go on to such prominence and greatness, but they were a really good high school football team.
I would imagine.
For sure. So congratulations to Reggie Bush on that news this morning. Here's what we've got coming up on the menu today. Coming up in our next segment, our Padres wrap-up. That's not going to go all that pleasantly for your San Diego Padres after last night's 7-4 loss to the Colorado Rockies. Can still accomplish what we told them to and take 3 out of 4, but now there's no margin for error with Matt Waldron on the mound today and Randy Vasquez tomorrow. So
yeah, I heard knuckleballs do really well in altitude.
We'll see how that works
really
out.
Really well.
I told you. Well, we'll get into it in our next segment. Now at 7 o'clock, our once a year moment. The 2024 Ben mocks the draft. Of course, tomorrow is the first round of the actual NFL draft. You might notice that we are somewhat lighter on the draft coverage than maybe other national sports shows you may be listening to nowadays that are like...
We haven't had three draft 24/7. Analysts a day.
Yeah, we're not going to have Mel Kiper Jr. on our show to break down who's going where, which none of them know actually who's going anywhere. Maybe you know who's going number one, Caleb Williams to the Chicago Bears.
That's the origin of Ben mocks the draft.
Correct.
I think we started it in 2020.
Yeah.
So this is the fourth year now, and it started with everybody trying to predict and do their mock drafts, and people do mock drafts, 8 months in advance. I'm like, this is one of the stupidest things in sports and sports media. And so it's Ben mocks the mock drafts.
I think basically. I can fairly confidently state, unlike the rest of the mock drafters out there, that I will get none of the picks correct.
Good.
Pretty sure. There's an outside chance one of them might be right, but I don't think so. So I'm pretty sure I'll get all of them wrong, and we will mock the draft coming up at 7 o'clock today.
It's the worst thing on radio, which makes it the best
thing on radio.
Oh, it's bad again.
It's bad again.
It's going to be very, very bad.
I'm sweaty.
I've gotten a sneak peek.
You have?
Oh, strap in, pal.
I am sweaty.
It's also a Big League Wednesday here. Adam Jones is going to be with us at 7:35. Brett Boone, host of the Brett Boone Podcast at 8:35. Rondle Report in our 9 o'clock hour. And we'll look ahead to the Padres game today against the Colorado Rockies. But we did have an incorporator, Jesse Agler, joined us yesterday, as he does each and every Tuesday. And we've gotten some great words this season from our tier ones in YouTube and on social media. And Paulie's got the setup for yesterday's incorporator word for Jesse Agler. All right, back on radio this week for the incorporator, 5:40 first pitch tonight. And Paulie has got it loaded and locked, or locked and loaded for you here, Jesse.
Right.
Snollygoster.
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 It's a shrewd, unprincipled person.
Wow, that's great.
All right, Snollygoster.
Yep.
And now this was somewhat later in the game, Paulie.
Later in the game.
Yeah. And it has a bit of a twist that has not happened, I don't believe.
Yeah, I'll just tell you the text I got from Mr. Agler himself. He said, bottom seven, done. Tony called me out.
Oh, perfect. Mm.
1-1 pitch, and he hits a chopper to second, charged by Bogart. Xander has it and slings the short throw to first in time. Two down as Bouchard advances to third base. And, of course, because of not only the sheer volume of hits, but the kinds of hits that Blackman has collected against the Padres over the years, I imagine most Padre fans, just the sight of his face, you know, makes them shiver and evokes a feeling of hatred. But everything I've ever heard about the guy, He's a wonderful human. He's no Snollygoster. He's got a great story with how he got to the big leagues. Here's Ezekiel Tovar, who takes the curveball low, 1-0.
First, a Snolly what?
Snollygoster. Like a bad guy or a...
Okay. I know they certainly can't stand his face, Padre fans, and they certainly probably hate that walk-up song at this point.
We're going to miss 1-1 on Tovar.
When I hear that song, it makes me mad. I love that
song. It used to be a good
song,
too.
Yeah. I really did blow up my pipes. Holy cow.
I know.
Tonight.
Usually, for whatever reason, and maybe it's because Jesse's so good at slipping the words in, they kind of go right past Tony or whoever, you know, Jesse is doing the game with that week. Because that's kind of part of his game. Let's see if I can weasel it in that no one notices.
A Snolly what?
Snollygoster.
Snollygoster. Fantastic work, as usual.
Ted used to catch him a little bit more. We had a couple of times
that
where
was
he'd,
unreal.
He'd have the...
Diphthong?
Diphthong.
Pulled my diphthong in college.
But Tony did notice that one, which I appreciate. He didn't say it was the incorporate. Got to imagine Tony's aware of a bit by now,
after
many years, but did not catch that it was a Tuesday, and perhaps there was a reason Jesse was using the word Snollygoster on the broadcast.
As usual, delivered that perfectly.
All right, we'll come
things
back.
You have to worry about with that, your semi-vowels, your diphthongs, your triphthongs, your vowel breaking, all the different ways to say stuff, and you want to say it the right way for these guys.
I pulled my diphthong in college.
Oh, you don't want to do that.
I was out for like 6 weeks.
It's an all-timer. That is an all time Hall of Fame incorporator moment.
Oh my God, so good.
I pulled my diphthong in college.
All right, we'll come back. First negative edition, losing edition of the Padres wrap up of the week. Hear from Mike Schilt and get into last night's loss to the Colorado Rockies. And then Ben mocks the draft in less than 30 minutes. Do not go anywhere, Tier 1s. It's Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
You know what's funny is today I was looking at the rundown, Benjamin. Today is actually Scream Day, which is weird because I just screamed my throat away.
You do scream most days, actually.
I do. I'm a big yeller.
You are kind of a screamer.
Yeah, I am a screamer.
Yeah.
Vociferously loud. Is that a word? Did I use that properly?
I don't think so.
Screamed quite.
You are vociferous.
I am vociferous. That's not an adjective.
Vociferously is certainly an adjective that you can use. I don't think you could be vociferously loud, or maybe that's redundant.
Yes, maybe.
I'm sorry, though. It's funny. Both of us said the same thing when we got in this morning. And you always have to be on your toes because this is the San Diego Padres. And the second you think one thing, the rug gets pulled out from under you. And both of us, for like the first time all season, other than like the game where they scored like double-digit runs right. And it's late in the game, but like early in a game, early offense, they're up 4-1, and both of us thought, all right, this I'm feeling really good about this game. Didn't say it out loud to anyone, nope. didn't jinx it.
Didn't text each other.
But I did... Nope. I did think it to myself, like, okay, I'm feeling good about this one. Michael 100. King's on the mound. He's looked sharp. He's thrown like 20 pitches. The other guy's thrown like 90 pitches in four innings. You're just perfectly set up. You're going to get into that bullpen early. This is exactly what I wanted to see from the San Diego Padres today. Exactly.
100%. Scored early.
Yep.
You know, scored early. Had a nice little lead there.
Yep.
You had King throwing the ball well, as you said. They made a point on the broadcast to say, you know, listen, just get into that Rockies bullpen. You're going to be fine. Feltner was, whatever. But, yeah, I really thought we got this one on lock. King's going to go 5 or 6. We'll turn it over to the bullpen. We'll add on, and that'll be ball game, and we got this one in the bag.
So what happened? Well, the one thing I said, you can't really let the Rockies do, happened in that game. We'll go through it in our Padres wrap-up that's coming up right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
Oh, a shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres wrap-up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
It's not your fault.
So 2-1, nobody out as we get started here in Denver. Jake Cronenworth, the batter. Left-hand hitter goes after the first pitch. He lines one into left field. Bogaerts is rounding third on his way. He's going to score. Tatis speeding into third base. Cronenworth had taken a wide turn at first. Now he returns, an RBI single, and a 1-0 Padre lead with nobody out in the first inning. 1-0 to Jones. Hits it in the air to left field. Profar charging in towards the line on the move. Dives and does not make the catch. In and out of his glove. Diaz comes in from third to score. Rockies are on the board, and that snaps in 0-26 for Nolan Jones. And Luis hits it in the gap towards right center field. Bouchard on the run dives. Can't make the catch. Bounces up against the wall. Kim has scored. Camposano into second with another double and a 3-1 Padre lead. Here's the 0-1 pitch. Merrill hits it hard on a line to left center field. That's down for a base hit. Camposano rounding third on his way. Doyle's throw will go into second base. An RBI single for Jackson Merrill and a 4-1 Padre lead in the third inning. 0-2 to Rogers is swung on, hit in the air to deep left. Profar's going back to watch. He's looking up. It's going to go. A grand slam for Brendan Rogers. The first home run of this series is a slam to give the Rockies a 5-4 lead here in the fourth. There he goes. Pitch to Profar, swung on. Sky to shallow left field. Cave charging in. He'll get there. Settles underneath of it. Makes the catch. And the ball game is over. Rockies come from behind here tonight, use the Brendan Rodgers Grand Slam to pick up their sixth win of the year. And the final score in Game 2 of this series, Colorado 7 and the Padres 4.
I mean, listen, you know, if you give them extra opportunities, you create more opportunities for runs. You know, again, our defense has mostly been really good, been in the right position a lot. We're in that situation where it seems like the moment we make a miscue, you know, some damage takes place, and that's not the norm, but it has taken place. You know, like I said, they're men, not machines, but it happens.
Mike Schilt, referring to the critical error by Jake Cronenworth, could have been a double play in the fourth inning. Instead, Rockies would load the bases, and you heard the Brendan Rodgers grand slam. First Rockies home run in 6 games, and that was the one thing that I said yesterday. Hey, you can't let them start hitting the ball out of the park, because then it becomes, it's a roulette wheel at Coors Field, and the Padres haven't hit one out of the park in this series. Well, Rockies did, and they picked the perfect time for their one home run. Came with all the runners on base, and that was the difference in the game yesterday, Woods, in a 3-run loss.
The second longest homerless streak in Rockies history was snapped last night by Brendan Rodgers, he hitting about 194 I think, his first home run of the year on an 0-2 pitch with the bases loaded. You know, Ben, errors cannot become fatal. They just can't become fatal. 162 games, a million chances your defense is going to get to make a play. Sometimes they don't. They cannot lead to 3, 4, 5 runs every single time you boot one. You just can't. Jake's got to make that play. Michael King cannot throw that pitch on 0-2. He just can't throw that pitch on 0-2.
For the second time in 2 minutes, Woods has lost his camera there. Now it's gone off completely. You can keep talking if you want.
He cannot throw that pitch on 0-2.
Oh, my God.
Relax.
It's right in front of you now.
Yeah, I know where it is. I'm looking for the mount.
It's sometimes pitching staffs that don't get a lot of strikeouts will struggle to overcome errors because, hey, you need to have that strikeout at your disposal when runners are on base to get out of jams.
Michael King can strike guys out.
That shouldn't necessarily be a problem for the San Diego Padres. They should be able to occasionally overcome a mistake, yet this year, they have allowed 19 unearned runs, which is the third most in Major League Baseball. Their defense, Mike Schild is right, hasn't been utterly horrible. They've committed a few too many errors, but they're not right at the top in errors committed. It's simply when they commit errors, it's come back to haunt them almost every time.
Yeah.
They've also made a lot of really good plays. They're up there in outs above average in among the leaders in the league. Yesterday, they seemed to have every ball was just a few feet out of their reach when they were, you know, running in foul territory or fair territory. Just couldn't quite get there in the massive expanse that is the Coors Field outfield. But yeah, wow. I mean, you blame the defense on an error. Obviously, you've got to make the play. But once the play is not made, the Padres pitching staff has not done nearly a good enough job of mitigating the damage and limiting it to at most a run, you know, there. And in this case, the Rockies ended up with a 5-run inning. A couple of them were unearned, obviously, against Michael King. But what actually bothered me more about that game yesterday, and Mike Schilt kind of disagreed in his post-game comments when he was asked what he saw, and we can play it later when we probably get your camera fixed. But what he said, what did I see? I saw good relief pitching by the Rockies. I saw a balls hit right at guys in a lot of situations. I saw a lot of quick outs, though.
Bro, I saw when you get down a run, like a 7-pitch inning and a 10-pitch inning after that. That's what I saw, Mike. And you know, far be it for me to question anything a manager does, because he's a manager and I'm not. But I also know that bullpen, and they were talking about it ad nauseum.
You might think I'm nuts.
They were talking about it ad nauseum on the broadcast that this is one of the worst bullpens in baseball. And when that's the case, why would you go up there and just hack on the first pitch and roll over? I didn't see a lot of seeds hit right at guys. You know, I saw a lot. I saw some weak contact. I saw some quick contact. And I know that's been their approach for a lot of the season, is to be aggressive. It's what got them the early lead, in my opinion. And to switch gears like that in the middle of a game, well, I think the game dictates what your plan is. Does it not? Let's go early and aggressive. Hey, we got us a lead. Now we got into the bullpen. Let's wait it out a little bit.
They were doing both. Early in the game, they were early and aggressive on some batters, but they also worked a lot of counts, worked some walks. They had Feltner's pitch count up
way up
early in the game. So it wasn't like they were simply, you know, going after the first pitch every time. They were doing both very effectively in the first 4 innings of the game, and then it kind of stopped. And yeah, I do understand Mike Schilt's point. When you swing and you get a good pitch, even if it's the first pitch and you think you can hit it, you swing at it. And it's not always going to be a hit. I do have a lot of people in my comments that when the Padres offense is not performing, I get they're swinging for the fences too much hit fly balls. But then I also get they're hitting too many ground balls at the same time.
Correct.
So I do see a lot of that. Now, both of those can't be true.
It's very simple. You just hit more line drives.
Yes. And I do understand that the fractional difference between a line drive, hard grounder, and a flyout is a millimeter off the bat. Yeah. And if you're going to say, oh, our guys just are terrible offensively because they missed that one by a millimeter, then you don't really, I don't think you're being fair to an offense on baseball. And there was some of that, to be sure. But when it continues for five straight innings and you're getting nothing done against a bullpen that has struggled, it feels like there might have been some approach issues in that game as well.
Yeah, it just is a real drag. That's one, again, that you thought you've got this one. You're firmly in control of this. And again, an error, you know, Jake needs to make that play. He'd be the first one to tell you. But it also cannot be a fatal thing every time you make an error. You know, every Kim error has led to seemingly three runs this year. You know, we're not a strong defensive team. You don't feel a lot of confidence, Ben, at the hot corner. You know, there's been a lot of plays down there that you feel like, now the one Eggy throwing error didn't come around, you know, didn't hurt us, that he made later in the game. Tyler Wade, there were some suspect calls yesterday, the foul ball calls, there were two of them. I feel like Doug Eddings missed both of them.
I do too.
I really do.
First one hurt. Yeah. cost a run. Second one I don't think it ended up costing a run.
But no, man, it just, people were tweeting yesterday, hey, when are you going to stop bringing up last year? It's pretty simple. When they stop playing like last year. When they stop going win one, lose one.
Now, they didn't have any defensive issues last year. They were a really good defensive team. They didn't give up a lot of unearned runs, didn't make a lot of errors, top of the charts metrically.
More sloppy. You know what I'm saying? Like when you think about 2023.
But what's different? Why is this year's defense, other than Manny not playing, which is a big one? I mean, you got an all-time great defender who has not played a single inning in the field yet, and he's been replaced by a bunch of guys who aren't really good defenders. I think Tyler Wade's the best of the bunch, and he's average at best, and Eggy and Graham Pauly are both below average third basemen. So you've definitely downgraded there until Manny's back, but Jackson Merrill, I mean,
he's been fine.
He's been fine. He's not the problem, even though, you know, Trent Grisham, you would think that might have been the issue. That hasn't been the issue. Tatis is a platinum glover, and he's made a couple of mistakes. Ha-Seong Kim is a gold glover. He's made some mistakes. Jake Cronenworth,
while he had
the error yesterday, he's played really well. It's hard to explain what's been wrong with the Padres' defense this year.
They are costing us huge, huge runs, you know, do you put that on the pitching staff? Do you put that on the defense? A defense cannot be expected to go out and be perfect every single night, knowing if I make an error, we probably lose this game. Somebody just asked me, how do I feel about the Tyler Wade drag bunt? We have to clarify this. Bunting for a hit is fine. Giving up an out is not. Especially if you're Tyler Wade. 100%, man. Like, drag bunting for a knock, that's great. Line drive in the books. Squaring around and bunting it down to the third baseman to give up an out is dumb, and it always will be dumb. So there you go. But it was a great bunt. Beautiful. And I'm happy for Tyler Wade to do that every time.
I will throw in one positive. I thought Adrian Morihone has looked like a different person. Like, they've traded for a new Adrian Morihone.
Yeah.
From the one that we saw for the last several years that just looked like he was never going to be a big league pitcher, no matter how badly A.J. Preller wanted to make it happen, invested all the international money, all the time in him, left-handed, he throws hard. There's no reason, like, this guy can't be a really good big league pitcher, and it just never looked like it was going to happen. And granted, he's a long way from making it happen, but I will say, since he has come back, he looks different. He's got more pitches, seems to have more confidence out there, 2 1/3, lowered his ERA to 1.35, pitched out of a jam that was created perhaps by a bad call on the foul ball double down the line that Eggy Rosario was looking at Doug Eddings at third going, I'm staring right at it. Eggy was like, he watched it as it went by, as he reached for it, and he was staring right at it, and he goes, Doug, I'm right here. I'm as close as you are. It was foul. And Doug's getting the little fingers together like, no, it was fair by just this much. I don't know. Usually chalk does kick up a little bit when it hits the line. I didn't see it. I thought the other one early in the game was clearly foul. The first bounce was in foul territory. The second bounce was also in foul territory. Doug Eddings seemed to think that somewhere in the midair, the ball curved into fair territory and then back out of fair territory.
It was like the magic bullet.
It's like, yeah. The trajectory somehow changed.
You're saying a lot of words. All you need to say is Doug Eddings.
That needs to be reviewable. I'm sorry. That's got to be a reviewable play. Why would it not? That'd be like in tennis saying, we'll review everything except the ball on the line. We're not going to do that. That's the most important thing in tennis, is it not? Is that ball in or is it out?
But neither of those calls cost the Padres the game. It was the defensive miscue and the lack of the ability of Michael King to...
You know what's funny is today I was looking at the rundown, Benjamin.
Today is actually Scream Day, which is weird because I just screamed my throat away.
You do scream most days, actually.
I do. I'm a big yeller.
You are a kind of a screamer.
Yeah, I have a screamer.
Yeah.
Vociferously loud? Is that a word? Is that the, did I use that properly?
I don't think so.
Screamed quite
You are vociferous.
I am vociferous. That's not an adjective.
Vociferously is certainly an adjective that you can use. I don't think you could be vociferously loud, or maybe that's redundant.
Yes, maybe.
I'm sorry, though. It's funny, both of us said the same thing when we got in this morning, that, and you always have to be on your toes, because this is the San Diego Padres. And the second you think one thing, the rug gets pulled out from under you. And both of us, for like the first time all season, other than like the game where they scored like double-digit runs and it's late in the game, but like early in a game, early offense, they're up 4-1, and both of us thought, all right, this I'm feeling really good about this game. Didn't say it out loud to anyone, didn't jinx it.
Didn't text each other.
But I did... Nope. I did think it to myself, like, okay, I'm feeling good about this one. Michael 100. King's on the mound. He's looked sharp. He's thrown like 20 pitches. The other guy's thrown like 90 pitches in four innings. You're just perfectly set up. You're going to get into that bullpen early. This is exactly what I wanted to see from the San Diego Padres today. Exactly.
100%. Scored early.
Yep.
You know, scored early. Had a nice little lead there.
Yep.
You had King throwing the ball well, as you said. They made a point on the broadcast to say, you know, listen, just get into that Rockies bullpen. You're going to be fine. Feltner was, whatever. But, yeah, I really thought we got this one on lock. King's going to go 5 or 6. We'll turn it over to the bullpen. We'll add on, and that'll be ball game, and we got this one in the bag.
So what happened? Well, the one thing I said, you can't really let the Rockies do, happened in that game. We'll go through it in our Padres wrap-up that's coming up right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
Oh, a shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres wrap-up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
It's not your fault.
So 2-1, nobody out as we get started here in Denver. Jake Cronenworth, the batter. Left-hand hitter goes after the first pitch. He lines one into left field. Bogarts is rounding third on his way. He's going to score. Tatis speeding into third base. Cronenworth had taken a wide turn at first. Now he returns. An RBI single and a 1-0 Padre lead with nobody out in the first inning. 1-0 to Jones. Hits it in the air to left field. Profar charging in towards the line on the move. Dives and does not make the catch. In and out of his glove. Diaz comes in from third to score. Rockies are on the board. And that snaps in 0-26 for Nolan Jones. And Luis hits it in the gap towards right center field. Bouchard on the run dives. Can't make the catch. Bounces up against the wall. Kim has scored. Camposano into second with another double and a 3-1 Padre lead. Here's the 0-1 pitch. Merrill hits it hard on a line to left center field. That's down for a base hit. Camposano rounding third on his way. Doyle's throw will go into second base. An RBI single for Jackson Merrill and a 4-1 Padre lead in the third inning. 0-2 to Rogers is swung on, hit in the air to deep left. Profar's going back to watch. He's looking up. It's going to go. A grand slam for Brendan Rogers. The first home run of this series is a slam to give the Rockies a 5-4 lead here in the fourth. There he goes. Pitch to Profar, swung on. Sky to shallow left field. Cave charging in. He'll get there. Settles underneath of it. Makes the catch. And the ball game is over. The Rockies come from behind here tonight, use the Brendan Rodgers grand slam to pick up their 6th win of the year. And a final score in Game 2 of this series, Colorado 7 and the Padres 4.
I mean, listen, you know, if you give them extra opportunities, you create more opportunities for runs. You know, again, our defense has mostly been really good, been in the right position a lot. We're in that situation where it seems like the moment we make a miscue, you know, some damage takes place. And that's not the norm, but it has taken place. You know, like I said, they're men, not machines, but it happens.
Mike Schilt, referring to the critical error by Jake Cronenworth. Could have been a double play in the fourth inning. Instead, Rockies would load the bases, and you heard the Brendan Rodgers grand slam. First Rockies home run in six games. And that was the one thing that I said yesterday. Hey, you can't let him start hitting the ball out of the park, because then it becomes, it's a roulette wheel at Coors Field, and the Padres haven't hit one out of the park in this series. Well, Rockies did, and they picked the perfect time for their one home run. Came with all the runners on base, and that was the difference in the game yesterday, Woods, in a three-run loss.
The second longest homerless streak in Rockies history was snapped last night by Brendan Rodgers. He hitting about 194, I think, his first home run of the year. On an 0-2 pitch with the bases loaded. You know, Ben, errors cannot become fatal. They just can't become fatal. 162 games, a million chances your defense is going to get to make a play. Sometimes they don't. They cannot lead to 3, 4, 5 runs every single time you boot one. You just can't. Jake's got to make that play. Michael King cannot throw that pitch on 0-2. He just can't throw that pitch on 0-2.
For the second time in 2 minutes, Woods has lost his camera there. Now it's gone off completely. You can keep talking if you want.
He cannot throw that pitch on 0-2.
Oh, my God.
Relax.
It's right in front of you now.
Yeah, I know where it is. I'm looking for the mount.
It's sometimes pitching staffs that don't get a lot of strikeouts will struggle to overcome errors because, hey, you need to have that strikeout at your disposal when runners are on base to get out of jams.
Michael King can strike guys out.
That shouldn't necessarily be a problem for the San Diego Padres. They should be able to occasionally overcome a mistake. Yet, this year, they have allowed 19 unearned runs, which is the third most in Major League Baseball. Their defense, Mike Schilt is right, hasn't been utterly horrible. They've committed a few too many errors, but they're not right at the top in errors committed. It's simply when they commit errors, it's come back to haunt them almost every time.
Yeah.
They've also made a lot of really good plays. They're up there in outs above average in among the leaders in the league. Yesterday, they seemed to have every ball was just a few feet out of their reach when they were, you know, running in foul territory or fair territory. Just couldn't quite get there in the massive expanse that is the Coors Field outfield. But yeah, you blame the defense on an error. Obviously, you've got to make the play. But once the play is not made, the Padres pitching staff has not done nearly a good enough job of mitigating the damage and limiting it to at most a run, you know, there. And in this case, the Rockies ended up with a 5-run inning. A couple of them were unearned, obviously, against Michael King. But what actually bothered me more about that game yesterday, and Mike Schilt kind of disagreed in his post-game comments when he was asked what he saw, and we can play it later when we probably get your camera fixed. But what he said, what did I see? I saw good relief pitching by the Rockies. I saw a balls hit right at guys in a lot of situations. I saw a lot of quick outs, though.
Bro, I saw when you get down a run, like a 7-pitch inning and a 10-pitch inning after that. That's what I saw, Mike. And you know, far be it for me to question anything a manager does, because he's a manager and I'm not. But I also know that bullpen, and they were talking about it ad nauseum.
You might think I'm nuts.
They were talking about it ad nauseum on the broadcast that this is one of the worst bullpens in baseball. And when that's the case, why would you go up there and just hack on the first pitch and roll over? I didn't see a lot of seeds hit right at guys. You know, I saw a lot. I saw some weak contact. I saw some quick contact. And I know that's been their approach for a lot of the season, is to be aggressive. It's what got them the early lead, in my opinion. And to switch gears like that in the middle of a game, well, I think the game dictates what your plan is. Does it not? Let's go early and aggressive. Hey, we got us a lead. Now we got into the bullpen. Let's wait it out a little bit.
Well, they were doing both. Early in the game, they were early and aggressive on some some batters, but they also worked a lot of counts, worked some walks. They had Feltner's pitch count up.
Way up
early in the game. So it wasn't like they were simply, you know, going after the first pitch every time. They were doing both very effectively in the first four innings of the game. And then it just kind of stopped. And yeah, I do understand Mike Schilt's point. When you swing and you get a good pitch, even if it's the first pitch and you think you can hit it, you swing at it. And it's not always going to be a hit. I do have a lot of people in my comments that when the Padres offense is not performing, I get they're swinging for the fences too much when they hit fly balls. But then I also get they're hitting too many ground balls at the same time.
Correct.
So I do see a lot of that. Now, both of those can't be true.
It's very simple. You just hit more line drives.
Yes. And I do understand that the fractional difference between a line drive, hard grounder, and a flyout is a millimeter off the bat. Yeah. And if you're going to say, oh, our guys just are terrible offensively because they missed that one by a millimeter, then you don't really, I don't think you're being fair to an offense on baseball. And there was some of that, to be sure. But when it continues for five straight innings and you're getting nothing done against a bullpen that has struggled, it feels like there might have been some approach issues in that game as well.
Yeah, it just is a real drag. That's one again that you thought you've got this one. You're firmly in control of this, and again, an error. You know, Jake needs to make that play. He'd be the first one to tell you. But it also cannot be a fatal thing. Every time you make an error, you know, every Kim error has led to seemingly three runs this year. You know, we're not a strong defensive team. You don't feel a lot of confidence, Ben, at the hot corner. You know, there's been a lot of plays down there that you feel like, now the one Eggy throwing error didn't come around, you know, didn't hurt us, that he made later in the game. Tyler Wade, there were some suspect calls yesterday, the foul ball calls, there were two of them. I feel like Doug Eddings missed both of them.
I do too.
I really do.
First one hurt.
Second one cost
a run. Second one, I don't think it ended up costing a run.
But no, man, it just, people were tweeting yesterday, hey, when are you going to stop bringing up last year? It's pretty simple. When they stopped playing like last year. When they stopped going win one, lose one.
Now, they didn't have any defensive issues last year. They were a really good defensive team. They didn't give up a lot of unearned runs, didn't make a lot of errors, top of the charts metrically.
More sloppy. You know what I'm saying? Like when you think about 2023.
But what's different? Why is this year's defense, other than Manny not playing, which is a big one? I mean, you got an all-time great defender who has not played a single inning in the field yet, and he's been replaced by a bunch of guys who aren't really good defenders. I think Tyler Wade's the best of the bunch, and he's average at best, and Eggy and Graham Pauly are both below average third basemen. So you've definitely downgraded there until Manny's back. But Jackson Merrill, I mean,
he's been fine.
He's been fine. He's not the problem, even though, you know, Trent Grisham, you would think that might have been the issue. That hasn't been the issue. Tatis is a platinum glover, and he's made a couple of mistakes. Ha-Seong Kim is a gold glover. He's made some mistakes. Jake Cronenworth,
while he had
the error yesterday, he's played really well. It's hard to explain what's been wrong with the Padres' defense this year.
They are costing us huge, huge runs, you know. Do you put that on the pitching staff? Do you put that on the defense? A defense cannot be expected to go out and be perfect every single night, knowing if I make an error, we probably lose this game. Somebody just asked me, how do I feel about the Tyler Wade drag bunt? We have to clarify this. Bunting for a hit is fine. Giving up an out is not. Especially if you're Tyler Wade. 100%, man. Like, drag bunting for a knock, that's great. Line drive in the books. Squaring around and bunting it down to the third baseman to give up an out is dumb, and it always will be dumb. So there you go. But it was a great bunt. Beautiful. And I'm happy for Tyler Wade to do that every time.
I will throw in one positive. I thought Adrian Morihone has looked like a different person. Like, they've traded for a new Adrian Morihone.
Yeah.
From the one that we saw for the last several years that just looked like he was never going to be a big league pitcher, no matter how badly A.J. Preller wanted to make it happen, invested all the international money, all the time in him, left-handed, he throws hard. There's no reason, like, this guy can't be a really good big league pitcher, and it just never looked like it was going to happen. And granted, he's a long way from making it happen, but I will say, since he has come back, he looks different. He's got more pitches, seems to have more confidence out there, 2 1/3, lowered his ERA to 1.35, pitched out of a jam that was created perhaps by a bad call on the foul ball double down the line that Eggy Rosario was looking at Doug Eddings at third going, I'm staring right at it. Eggy was like, he watched it as it went by, as he reached for it, and he was staring right at it. And he goes, Doug, I'm right here. I'm as close as you are. It was foul. And Doug's getting the little fingers together like, no, it was fair by just this much. I don't know. Usually chalk does kick up a little bit when it hits the line. I didn't see it. I thought the other one early in the game was clearly foul. The first bounce was in foul territory. The second bounce was also in foul territory. Doug Ettinger seemed to think that somewhere in the midair, the ball curved into fair territory and then back out of fair territory.
It was like the magic bullet.
It's like, the trajectory somehow changed.
You're saying a lot of words. All you need to say is Doug Ettinger.
That needs to be reviewable. I'm sorry. That's got to be a reviewable play. Why would it not? That'd be like in tennis saying, we'll review everything except the ball on the line. We're not going to do that. That's the most important thing in tennis, is it not? Is that ball in or is it out?
But neither of those calls cost the Padres the game. It was the defensive miscue and the lack of the ability of Michael King to pitch out of the one jam that he was in.
You're really letting the slap-hitting offense off the hook.
Yeah. You could have won that game. It's Coors Field. You're down 5-4 in the fourth. Come on. You win that game 12-6. That's fine.
Do what you have to do in that case to beat a massively inferior team. It's a real kick
they
in
are.
The nuts.
And now you're not going to win every game against the Rockies all season long. You got to hope.
Obviously not now.
Well,
now you can't.
You probably weren't going to anyway. You've got to keep it to a minimum. Now you feel like you do kind of have to win these next two games. Win them without Manny. Win them without your best pitchers because you're down to your five and six pitchers the next 2 days.
Yep.
And if you don't get them both, then you're kind of feeling bad about a split. And if you lose them both, you are really giving up a lot of ground already. So, yeah, you put more pressure on yourself over the next couple of days. All right. It is almost time. When we come back, Ben, mocks the 2024 draft. Next on 97.3 The Fan.
Oh, boy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.